You're in luck, I only have 7 points tonight. It was 12, I condensed it down to 5, but expanded to 7, so we're good. 1 Samuel, chapter 30. 1 Samuel, chapter 30 is where we're going to start tonight. And we're going to be all over the place, and it's going to seem very discombobulated, but hopefully we can get what God has for us tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 30, starting in verse number 1, says, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, and the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captive that were therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and all and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters." This world is full of people that are distressed, that are out of tears, and that feel betrayed. But continue reading in verse number 6. It says, "But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." And take note of that little word, his. It was a personal relationship between David and the Lord. This world doesn't have that. And they are distressed and hurting and betrayed, but they can have it. They can have a relationship with the Lord. And it's our job to go out and tell them. And we're going to get right into our 7 points. And I want you to know the first one. The first one is titled, "So Rich and Free." So rich and free. And we talk about the Lord, and we think about that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. God owns everything. And God is rich. And we think that he can take care of everything. He can. He owns everything. It's all his, and he is rich. Materially, he owns everything. He can give you whatever you need. But he's also rich in mercy. But he's also rich in kindness. He's also rich in grace and compassion. In Ephesians 2, verse 4, I'll read Ephesians 2, verse 4 for you. 1 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians 2, 4 tells us about God. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us. My God is rich materially. He owns everything. But he's rich toward me every day in mercy. Toward you every day in grace and compassion and love and kindness and everything that God is. And he makes us full. When we are yielded to him, when we submit to him, he makes us full of those things so that we can go out and have compassion and mercy and grace on those that are distressed, out of tears, and feel betrayed. They're lost and dying and on their way to hell. And we're not. Because we have a hope. Because we know the Lord our God. We can be encouraged in our God. He is rich toward us. He is rich in grace. And it's not just a temporary grace. His grace is new every morning. His compassion fails not. His love for you and me endures and is strong and never fails. And when we are spirit-controlled, when we're led by the Spirit, we can go beyond ourselves, and we can love beyond what we normally would, beyond what we can in the flesh. We can love that coworker that just drives us nuts. Why? Because God is full of love toward us, and we in turn love those around us. He fills us. He enables us to go beyond ourselves. 1 Corinthians 15:31. 1 Corinthians 15:31, this is Paul. And Paul says, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ our Lord. Paul says, I die daily. The only way we're going to have compassion and mercy and grace on the unsaved and those that push our buttons every day is when we die daily to our own flesh and our own self and we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We can go beyond ourselves. As Brother Ferguson said a couple years ago, he had that shirt made, 100% Jesus, 0% self. And that's where it should be. That's where I need to be. And every time I look at my coworker and I get frustrated and whatever, I need to take a step back and understand that I am saved by his mercy, by his grace, by his power. And they're not, and they're going to spend eternity separated from him unless I speak up. The Lord gave everything for us. He gave everything for them. In Romans 8:32, told you we're all over the place. Romans 8:32 says, he, that's God, spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he, not with him also, freely give us all things? He gives us grace. He gives us mercy. He gives us compassion. He gives us the ability to go beyond ourselves when we die to our own flesh. He gives us all things that we need. He spared not his own son, and he freely gives it to us. He is so rich. And that mercy and grace and compassion that he gives us, the eternal life we have, it costs us nothing. But it costs him everything. It says, 8:32, he that spared not his own son. You try giving up your kid for somebody that hates you. You try giving up your kid for somebody that's going to reject you and curse you and spit in your face. God is rich toward us in mercy and grace and compassion, kindness, and every day. And it's free. You can go to him. You can go to the throne of grace. If you've sinned, you can go and get mercy. You can go and get forgiveness. He will give it to you. And it's free. So rich and free. Number two. Hopefully we don't fly through this, but that's okay. Number two. Thy great salvation. What is salvation? Salvation is saving from judgment. Saving from consequences. Turn with me to Matthew 22. Matthew chapter 22. This is the account of the wedding banquet. Matthew chapter 22, thy great salvation. Starting in verse 1, and Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth and sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. That wedding garment was freely provided.
Yeah, that's right.
He didn't have to earn it. He didn't work for it. He could have access to the king and access to the wedding of the son. And it was free. the wedding garment that you would take and you would cover. And as dirty and as filthy as you were, if you took that wedding garment and you covered it, you are free to enter. That wedding garment, it was free, but you know what? It was a gift. It was a gift that is freely supplied to anybody that would come. And salvation, like that wedding garment, is free to anybody that will receive it. It is there to cover our unrighteousness with his righteousness so that we can have access to the King. Salvation is saving from judgment and consequences, and we have that hope. And it's not just a hope, and we talk about that all the time in junior church and in Sunday school, the hope. It's not just hope. I'm hoping I get a new car. I'm hoping I get this. It's fully persuaded. It is confidence in what God says is true, and he will do it. He says, you have eternal life, and we can have that hope. That's not hoping I get it. That's not hoping he fulfills what he says he's going to do. We are fully persuaded that he will give it to us. Thy great salvation. And why is it great? It's beyond our comprehension. It's beyond our comprehension how a God who knew all would still allow it to happen, choosing the consequence and paying the price for that forgiveness. It's a great salvation. And the cost was enormous. I can't even fathom. His only begotten Son. And he gave his life, and not just he gave his life, he gave his life on the cross. He suffered and he bled for us. He gave his life in a cruel and painful way for us. But not just us. Those that are lost and distressed and out of tears and feel betrayed. And going out soul winning last night, I was reminded today that you have no idea who's on the other side of that door. They could open the door and say, no, thank you. They could open the door and curse you and tell you to get off their lawn. But you may open the door and find somebody that is distressed and out of tears and ready to hear. You never know. So just keep knocking. The cost was enormous. He gave his only begotten Son in a painful way for us. But that cost now gives us a great comfort. We can walk in this world fully persuaded that we have eternal life, fully persuaded that God cares for us and he will take care of us and he will provide for us. And he's just that good. It's a great salvation. Thy. It's only from God. Thy great salvation. It's only from God. We cannot earn it. There's no way. How are we going to pay for our sins? The wages of sin is death. It's only from him. Do we deserve it? I don't deserve it. I don't deserve that wedding garment. But it's freely given. It's freely offered. And like our grace gift at the nursing home, it's freely offered. And the only way they're going to get it, I don't make them go run 3 laps around the building to get it. I don't make them do 40 push-ups. They couldn't do it anyway. They're not going to get it. But it's freely offered, and all they have to do is receive it. And it's only from God. Thy great salvation. It allows access to the throne. It covers our unrighteousness with his righteousness. So rich and free. Thy great salvation. Number 3, given to me. John chapter 3. We love John chapter 3. Such good stuff. John chapter 3, given to me. Salvation is freely offered to all, yes. But it's given to me. Salvation is given to you. And I'm reminded that I am part of the whosoever. John 3:16, whosoever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever. That's me. That's you. You are the whosoever. John 3:15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. You are the whosoever. I am the whosoever. John 4:14 tells us, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You are the whosoever. I am the whosoever. Given to me. John 8:34. We are the whosoever for eternal life. But John 8:34 also tells us, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're also part of the whosoever. We have all sinned, and we are the servants of sin. And then in John 11, a couple more pages over, John 11:26. Told you we'd be using our Bibles. John 11:26 tells us, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. You are the whosoever. I am the whosoever, and the person on the other side of the door that is distressed and betrayed and out of tears is also the whosoever. Given to me. I'll read you Acts chapter 10, verse 43. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Whosoever sinneth is a servant of sin. That's us. That's me. But whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin. Yes, there's a wage to be paid. Yes, there we are on our way. We're lost and dying and going to hell. But he also made a way for whosoever will. And you are the whosoever. And remember, in Revelation 20:15, we've heard this one before. Revelation 20:15, also the whosoever. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There is a whosoever. And you need to receive the free gift of eternal life, the free gift, that free wedding garment that is offered to you. But understand, yes, it's given to everybody. But God commendeth his love toward us. But God commendeth his love toward you, and that while you were a sinner, Christ died for you. Christ died for me before I even knew him. And that salvation is given to me. It's given to you. So rich and free. Number two is thy great salvation. Number three, given to me. Number four, thank you, Lord. He is Lord. He's also the Creator. He is also the King of Kings. He is also the great I Am. He is also the Alpha and the Omega. He's also known as the Good Shepherd. He's also known as the Everlasting God. He's also known as Jehovah. The Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God. He's also the Redeemer. He is all of these things. But for me, there's one that stands out more than the others. And that's Abba. I can call him Father. And a father brings comfort. A father brings strength. A father brings compassion. And a father also provides security. And we can go to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, having accepted the free gift of salvation, having accepted that wedding garment. It was given to me. And we can call him Lord, but we can also call him Father. He is the Father. And just like a father wants to give good gifts to his children, so does God want to give good gifts to his children. But he wants those that don't know him to have that same relationship with him. Thank you, Lord. Number five. Blowing through these. Number five. Making me whole. Making me whole. You know what? He is completing you. When the wedding takes place, when a wedding takes place, the two become one, and they complete each other. And Jesus is the bridegroom. And as lost individuals, we are searching for something. This world is searching for something. They are trying to be complete. They are trying to be whole. They are trying to make themselves happy. And they are looking everywhere to find it. They're looking in money. They're looking in money to make themselves happy because they're trying to be complete. They're trying to be made whole. They're looking to games and entertainment. They're looking to cars. And they spend thousands of dollars in these cars to make themselves happy and to feel complete, but it doesn't satisfy. They're looking for friends. They work hours and hours and hours and work all this overtime to buy a house. Buy a house, they said. It'll be fun, they said. It's not. But they're looking for something to complete themselves, to make themselves whole, to make themselves happy. And they're looking in these places. They're looking at events. They go to places. They spend the money. They go to concerts. They go on trips, all to try and find themselves and make themselves happy. And they're never going to find it because they're missing the Savior. They're missing the one that made them and the one that can make them whole. They're looking for it. In the 90s, it was the adrenaline rush, right? I'm going to go skydiving. I'm going to go whatever it is, name your poison. I'm going to go swim with the sharks. No, thank you. You can have it. I'm good. And they're looking wherever they can to find it. And then they turn to drugs and alcohol and all these other things to try and make themselves happy. And then some of those things will actually just deaden the pain of feeling distressed and unable to cry anymore and betrayed because they're missing something. They're missing the Savior. They're trying to make themselves whole. But we have the answer. We have the answer. It's right here. It's Jesus. It's Him. It's only Him that's going to make them complete. It's going to make us complete. It's going to make us whole. And not until we hit rock bottom do we have only one place to look. Up. But sometimes you and I find ourselves there. Yes, we have the Savior, but we let life overwhelm us. And we take our eyes off of Him. And one of the best things you and I can do when we find ourselves lost and at the bottom is to look outside ourselves and to look at others. To invest in others, and to reset our eyes on the hurting of others, to have compassion on them. But you know what? We can't have that compassion in our own strength. We can't have that mercy in our own strength, because all we're going to offer them is our own flesh, is what we can muster up. But we have the answer. We are made whole because of Christ. And they need that. And I was reminded today that as I'm walking my 16 miles on my conveyor at work, just have time to ponder, time to think. And we knock on the door and we say, I'm going to invite you to church. Can I invite you to church? And is that how I'm supposed to do it? Or am I supposed to say, can I tell you about Jesus? Because it's not about the church. It's not about getting him in the door. This is salvation. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And it's about him. And they'll say, no, no, I'm good. I have a church. Okay, but you don't have Jesus. But I'm not telling them. I can invite them to church all I want, but church doesn't save you. Baptism doesn't save you. Giving to the church doesn't save you. It's Christ. It's accepting his righteousness that makes us whole. And when we die to ourselves and we are filled with the Holy Spirit, it gives us the ability to go beyond ourselves. It gives us, in Philippians 2, verse 5, Philippians 2, 5 talks about the mind of Christ. Philippians 2, verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and he was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. The mind of Christ, what is the mind of Christ? To please the Father. That's why he came, to please the Father. Not my will, but thine be done. He makes us whole. We don't muster it up. I can't make myself whole. I can't wake up one day and go, you know what, I'm going to be a better me. Nope, my flesh still exists. I still struggle with it. But it's Jesus that makes me whole. He completes us. Number six. Getting closer. Number six. Saving my soul. Saving my soul. Your soul is eternal. It's going to live somewhere, whether in hell or in heaven, having received the free gift of eternal life. And when we receive that gift, when we have that salvation, when we've accepted the robe, the wedding garment, and we take his righteousness upon ourselves, we can be strong and of good courage. Why? Because there is victory in Jesus. There is victory in Christ. There is victory over the flesh. There is victory over your sin. There is victory over death in Christ. When my flesh says, go here, Jesus says, don't. Am I going to submit? We can be strong and of good courage, but let us not forget those that are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because they are lost and they are going to perish. They are going to pass eternally ruined into a sinner's hell. But we have the answer. They're going to pass into hell, a place of eternal torment, a place of anguish and pain and weeping and gnashing of teeth and solitude and darkness. But while we are here, while they're still here, let us share Jesus with them. Just keep knocking. Just keep going. Know your coworkers. They could be the ones that are distressed and broken and out of tears and ready to take their own life. You don't know. We have a hope, and we can offer that to them. We can tell them about Jesus. Does the world need Jesus? Yes. Does your family need Jesus? Yes. Do your friends need Jesus? Yes. Maybe you have a spouse that needs Jesus. Maybe you have a friend that is close to you that still needs Jesus. And they all need him. But today, tonight, I want to focus on the reality that Jesus loves you. That he gave everything for you. That we can say that Jesus endured the cross for you. That he is rich in grace and mercy and kindness and love and forgiveness and compassion and everything he is toward you. He is merciful and he freely offers eternal life to you. You are the whosoever, saving my soul. And number 7, two little words. Thank you. And these words are words that we have been programmed to say all of our lives. Tell them thank you. Thank you. What do you say? Thank you. And then eventually we just become robotic, but do we really mean it? Or are we just speaking it? Because it's ingrained in us to say it. They become robotic, and they don't have any meaning to them. But thank you. Thank you are those words that we say when things are going good. Thank you, Lord. When things are going good. Thank you, Lord, when the bills are paid. Thank you, Lord, when the car starts. And sometimes we just don't even thank him. We get in, the car starts, and we just go on our way, and we don't even tell him thank you. We say thank you when the kids are good. Not very often, but we say thank you when we have a home. We say thank you when we have food on the table. We say thank you when the things are going good. And we all know this one, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, right? 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and we've heard many sermons on this one, and we're going to go over it again. It says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I'm looking for the will of God. Yeah, it's right here. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. And we can give thanks. We can tell them thank you when the car starts, when the kids are good, when we have a home, when the bills are paid, and everything is going good. But like it's been said before, in everything means in everything. And everything includes the ups, but also the downs. And everything includes the highs and the lows. And everything includes when the bills are paid, when you can't pay them. And everything includes when you have a job and when you don't. And everything includes when you have a house and a roof over your head and when you don't. And everything means in everything. And it seems like an impossibility. I can't give him thanks in everything because you don't know this is happening and this is happening and this is happening. But have you accepted Christ as your Savior? You have a hope of eternal life, and no matter what this world is, does, and says to you and does to you, eternal life is yours because God said it. But you know what? Some scripture is easier to keep than others. It seems like an impossibility. Like in Revelation chapter 2, when the Lord is talking to the church at Smyrna, Revelation 2:10, he's talking to them. He says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. You're going to suffer persecution. But you know what, church? And everything give thanks. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Can't. God says he can. When we walk in the Spirit, when we let him live through us. And everything means in everything. And the stories and the accounts in this book are here for us to look at and to know that what God says is true, what God says he will do, he does. And it's been proven. And it's here for us to read and to practice. But he says, in everything, give thanks. And you know what? That's a choice. You have that choice. You can choose to look at the circumstances, or you can choose to look at the God who controls the circumstances. Two little words, thank you. So can we say it tonight with meaning? Thank you, Lord, that I am the whosoever. Thank you, Lord, that I have salvation. Thank you, Lord. Read the points backwards. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. You are the whosoever. And does the world need Jesus? Absolutely. But tonight, I just want to stop and just tell him thank you.